You're in the home 6010.
Fantasy Focus Football. It is Thursday, September 27th.
No, it's not.
That's
it's
news
Thursday.
To me.
It is Wednesday, September 27th.
Lions playing Daniel today Bell. Or what?
No, not this week.
No, tomorrow they play.
You're
tomorrow,
excited. Yeah. It's fine. You're a Lions fan. You're pumped up. It's
Mike
cool.
Clay and Field Yates here. My name is Daniel Dopp. Today's show is presented by Geico. So Geico, see all the ways that you can save. Sorry, today is my little brother's birthday. For some reason, I was thinking that it was Thursday, not Wednesday. So Shout out to my little brother, Andy. Happy birthday.
Do you think what he was trying to do was take away the shine from his younger brother? Perhaps there's some envy there, the fact that he's 30. He's just a young, spry 30.
You're a mess, man. Now your computer's making noises.
I don't understand. I got it on Do Not Disturb. It's just been a tough one this morning.
Yeah,
at least computers have Do Not Disturb mode?
They do, actually, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I am the least technologically savvy person ever, so I had no idea until right now that there was a Do Not Disturb mode for your computer.
That's okay, really? Because you're really smart about NFL stuff, Field. So
I'm on a PC, so I cannot text people from my computer, which is something I've always been really jealous of. Feel I know other people do that too, but you're someone that you're always texting.
Always texting from the computer.
I wish I had that feature.
PC, I would literally get that feature. Yeah, I was going to say I would never ever give up this Mac computer for the simple reason that I can text. Like everything else to me is gravy, but the texting feature changes everything.
I might get one just for that. Just so I can carry it around and just text a little one.
My computer is
gigantic, so I'll get a little.
Yeah. It's Mac users, and then it's PC users, and then it's the Kevin James photo, I think is what it is. I think that's how the tweet goes. Because you're talking Mac, PC users can't do it, right? So you get the Kevin James photo of like, you wish you could be us.
I don't know what that means.
I'm trying. Is that not it? No, it doesn't work?
Does that mean PC is good or bad? I don't know.
There's a very good chance it is it. Because none of us have any idea what that photo means.
Yeah, so
great show,
it.
Though.
Great job.
25 years after the debut of King of Queens. Like, that's an incredible, like, I did not realize it had been that long since that terrific show debuted.
That's been a really long time.
You know, there are a lot of times where, like, you're watching a game. Like, obviously, a lot of sports are on network television. And football, obviously, they're on network television and basic cable, right? You know, CBS, NBC, Fox are channels that if you just have, you know, the antenna, you could still watch that without a cable box or what have you.
That's what I do.
And I always find myself thinking, like, when they're like promo and they're like, yeah, coming up, like America's number one comedy tonight. And I'm like, I literally don't know one person that watches that show. You guys, that's true, right?
It's surprising because I know that we're not on CBS at 8 p.m. So how is America's number one comedy coming on at that time?
Okay, so good point. So, hey, coming up, America's number two comedy. But you're like, no, like I have never watched that show before, nor do I know anybody that has actually watched that show. However, back in the day when it was like coming up tonight, a new episode of King of Queens, I was like, I will watch.
I will watch that.
I will watch. That show is freaking hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Field, you know what I'll watch?
Growing up, I just think of The Simpsons. It was The Simpsons, like coming up after the slate of Fox games. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That The Simpsons predicted that Puka Nacua was going to have the most catches through any player's first three games?
I didn't see that episode.
No, go back and watch it. It was an episode in like 2016.
I was just going to say.
Wow, okay.
They're actually fantastic about stuff like that.
Feels really amazing. Okay.
We got to get you on Dancing with the Stars. I think that would really help our comedy situation here if we could get you on something like that and we could watch you there.
So you could laugh at me.
Well, with you. Maybe with you is the right word.
Survivor. If I'm going to go on a reality TV show, we've all agreed it's still Survivor. So if you know someone who knows someone at Survivor, let them know that I'm interested.
That's like our episode. I think the biggest thing that's happened to the fantasy industry was when Mike Renner was on The Bachelorette. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
That long hair is beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to have a big rankings conversation today. We're going to dive into a bunch of stuff. And when a big thing, we're just going to start off the top with a guy that we want to vote off the island.
Hey,
I see what you did there.
Nice Survivor pull right there. Jets. However, though, you don't want to vote him off yet. You know why?
Tell me why.
He's weak, right? You want to drag those people
that's
along.
Right.
It's too early in the season to voting off the weak person, right?
You want to blindside
somebody. You want to come out there. You want to blindside Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, an MVP contender early in the season. They'll never know it's coming.
Mm-hmm. It's
you
like
keep
the weak,
Zach Wilson with you.
Like the weakest link as well. Like,
yeah.
Good
job.
All of these. We're a lot of references what are we doing? Here today.
Are these all on ABC?
We promote every network but ESPN.
We're just going radio silent. We're just none of this is airing.
Why is Scott Clark call me right
that's
now.
So that's funny.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive into these Jets conversations. Honestly, there's a big conversation here that we want to talk about within the rankings.
Yeah, as someone who's heavily invested in Garrett Wilson and Breece
Hall.
Yeah, you are. I'm not feeling good about this at all. And look, every week I set my lineup and I consider Breece Hall and I'm still starting Garrett Wilson. And I think, are there better days ahead? Yep. Are there better days ahead? And the only way that's going to happen, it appears, is if the Jets make a quarterback change. Now, I will say one thing really quickly in Zach Wilson's defense. Their schedule so far has been really tough. They played three pretty good defenses that were really good defenses. Three top five defenses.
In the early season, those are the three of the top five defenses in the
partially
NFL.
Because they played the Jets, but still.
No doubt. On paper, we know
there are good defenses. So maybe he gets going somewhat in the right direction. However, I don't think anyone views this guy as the future of this team. Obviously, the Giants didn't, and he has struggled as well. That offense has been terrible. So the question I have is there hope? Is there hope here, Field? So a lot of people are speculating, could they make a trade? Mm-hmm. Could they sign someone, just get even below average quarterback play instead of atrocious quarterback play and save our shares to Wilson, Breece Hall, even Alan Lazard, Tyler Conklin, guys like that. So do you have something?
You said that they should. Are they going to sign someone? They did. In fact, sign a quarterback in Trevor Siemian. Well,
yeah, Trevor Siemian to the practice squad. We'll see if he gets some run. But
if you're watching the YouTube stream right now, if you're not, go check it out. But if you are,
that headshot.
What does Trevor Siemian look like he does for a living in that headshot?
He's a student. I don't know.
That would work. He went to Northwestern. I don't know, but not an NFL quarterback is my answer.
I think
that being said, Zach Wilson. He looks like a model at like Banana Republic. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe this is the wrong headshot segment for me to be chiming in on.
Well, anyway, neither of them are guys we want under center for the Jets long term, I think. Doesn't feel like it. So I wanted to, this is your area of expertise in a lot of ways. And wanted to tee you up on some names here and wonder if there's a hope. If there's hope. Some of these guys are maybe lateral moves, maybe a small upgrade, maybe not. But I'll give you some names. Potential trades or signings. Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins. Jameis Winston, who's right now he's filling in for Derek Carr, but maybe down the road.
Yep.
How about Case Keenum or Davis Mills with Houston? They're both there. They're both the backups. Maybe one of those guys. Jacoby Brissett is in Washington behind Sam Howell right now. And then potential signings, Carson Wentz. We've heard Matt Ryan's name thrown around, and I'll throw out Colt McCoy as well. So there's a whole bunch of names. I'm wondering if you think there's any chance they upgrade this quarterback situation.
Let me start with a little bit of bookkeeping, and then I'm going to try to bucket those players because I think that some of the logic that you can use for Matt Ryan applies to Carson Wentz and a Colt McCoy. But the Jets right now are sitting on about $8 million in cap space. The reality is with 15 weeks left for the rest of the season, they're going to need pretty much every dollar of that $8 million between players going on IR that are replaced by somebody else on the active roster. You have per game roster bonuses. You have a variety of different things, practice squad promotions. So $8 million may sound like a hefty chunk, but it's not that much when you realize you're going to have to eventually create more money if you use that to just get through the season. But they do have strings they can pull if they want to create more cap space. So if the Jets want to create more cap space, they can do so. The risk with creating cap space is that you are pushing money into the future. Teams like the Saints and the Eagles have no issue with doing stuff like that. The Browns as well. Other teams prefer to stay a little more cap neutral. But the money is not the issue right now in terms of cap space for the Jets. Here, I think, is the question that the Jets have to ask themselves is, do they believe that any of these players is a true and decided upgrade to the point that that player could keep this team afloat and maybe on the strength of a terrific defense and eventually a fully healthy Breece Hall can maybe make a playoff push? I think most of us logically would think a couple of those names definitely check that box. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and bucket those players because we think there is a chance that an upgrade could help them, Daniel.
I just want to ask one real quick question as a part of that. So as you're going through this list of quarterbacks, the assumption is still that the Jets are planning on having Aaron Rodgers back next year, and this is just a quarterback for one season to get him into the playoffs.
100%. This is not even 1 year. It's more like whatever.
However,
80% of the year rental for this player.
And that's why that's why I think the first name might be the most interesting, and I think he's in that bucket along with Kirk Cousins. It would be Ryan Tannehill. Probably.
Right, let's do cross-offs, and then we'll kind of get some more compelling names. Okay. The three guys that you mentioned that are currently free agents, Colt McCoy has been dealing with a shoulder issue. Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz, both out of work right now. Ryan really struggled last season. Wentz wasn't much better. You could probably argue which player was better than the other last year. It wouldn't be a very fun argument.
No, it wouldn't.
But the bottom line is this. The Jets believe, whether we agree or disagree with this assertion, that the acclimation process for those players, plus how they performed last season, would not represent a decided upgrade to the point that this Jets team as currently constructed could make a push to the playoffs.
Okay.
That's their argument on the free agents. Yeah. As far as the trade targets go, first thing you got to wonder too is like, what's the price going to be in terms of a trade for a player? You do not have your second round pick next year. You also can't trade your first round pick technically right now because the trade that they made with the Green Bay Packers involved a conditional pick. Conditions of a trade are not satisfied until after the league year. So the Jets can't trade a 2024 first or second round pick. So if you're a team like Minnesota or Tennessee, the max you could ask for if you're looking for a 2024 draft pick would be a third round pick from the Jets. Is that enough? I would argue that if I got to a point where I was ready to trade either Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins, that a third round pick would be enough. Those teams may see it differently. But as bad as it's been for Minnesota so far, 0-3, all one score games, and they play in a division that right now does not seem to feature a San Francisco or a Philadelphia level team. Right, we can agree on that. I'm sorry, Daniel. Like the Lions look like a very good team, but like Philadelphia and San Francisco feel like the class of that team.
Minnesota.
I think the Vikings feel like they're way too close to just turning things around with a little bit here or there to maybe sneak back into the NFC playoff picture.
That just seems ridiculous to me.
There's three games in the season. They lost every game by 7 points or fewer.
And last year, they were playing above their skis, being able to win one-score games at a rate that they're not going to be able to.
Yeah, and that might change in 3 weeks before the deadline, but
think that is a team that does not feel like they're ready to wave the white flag on their season. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, same boat. Who are some of the other names that you asked about? Oh, in D.C., Washington, Jacoby Brissett. We were talking about this before the show. If Sam Howell plays anything close to like what he played like in week 3 or 4, Brissett might be their starter before you know it.
Yeah, I agree. That's a tough one.
That's a tough reason. Yeah. Who are some of the other names you brought up?
Jameis Winston, right?
The Saints are sort of getting the proof of concept as to why they have to hold on to Jameis, right? Yeah. Because Derek Carr is injured. We'll see how long he misses. And if the team doesn't have Jameis Winston, for the next 3 weeks at minimum, the backup quarterback will be Jake Luton, who they just signed off of the Panthers practice squad with Jake Haener still suspended. But it's not like the team, if something were to persist with Derek Carr or recur with Derek Carr down the line, would be ready to go to Jake Haener as our starting quarterback for a team that they think can be very good. And I think in that division can legitimately win the NFC South.
And then another one would be Davis Mills, who has a lot of experience starting, or Case Keenum, one of those two in Houston.
I think Case Keenum is way too valuable to Houston because of the presence he brings for a very young quarterback in C.J. Stroud. And I think he's not their starter, obviously, but I think Davis Mills is good enough. And I know it sounds crazy because it's not like he set the world on fire, but like, Davis Mills has played enough. Let me ask you this. Who's better, Davis Mills or Zach Wilson?
Right? I don't know. Probably Mills.
Davis Mills better than Zach Wilson, right?
I think he is. Jets may not perceive it that way. But
I'm just saying, like, right now, if you had to redraft that 2021 draft of quarterbacks, it might go Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Davis Mills?
Maybe.
Justin Fields? I don't know.
And probably Fields, but...
Right.
It's not
Fields. And then, but I'm just saying, like, Davis Mills, I think has some, I think they feel like he's a legitimately valuable quarterback that they want to keep in the system for one more year. So let's go back to Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Perhaps he's the most interesting one to me
for this reason that like Tennessee is a team that's 1-2 and you know, they got wiped pretty good by the Browns this past weekend. They did win against the Chargers, but this is the team that I think we could see maybe sort of teetering. It wouldn't surprise me if they're 4-6 or 4-7 at some point. The question is, you've got until October 31st to trade Ryan Tannehill. That's a trade deadline. Are you going to be willing to cut bait on your season by basically week 8 of the year?
I think if they're 500, no.
Right.
If they have two wins, remember they spent a two on Will Levis, and Will Levis got beat out by Malik Willis. They might have incentive to utilize these guys. And keep in mind, AFC is stacked. Like they're going to have their hands full if they're not contending for this division.
Here's the other side of the coin, though. If they're 2-6, what are the Jets by week 8?
Yeah.
With Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
And that's the rub. In some ways, the Jets think that their best option for now is still Zach Wilson. In other ways, every week that they go by with Zach Wilson, if they lose, it only depreciates the value of the rest of the season and thus de-incentivizes you to trade for a quarterback who you're going to have to pay a lot of money to. Right? Like Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins make legitimate money. So you're having to go to your owner. Say, I know you're paying $35 million this year for Aaron Rodgers on IR and Zach Wilson, who's making $6 million this year. Are you really willing to pay another like 10 or 12 million to Ryan Tannehill for the chance to maybe make the playoffs, maybe get the seventh seed? By the way, I never have to, like, I never feel bad for owners having to pay money like that. Like, they're worth billions, but you know, they're not my boss either. I don't have to go to them and be like, yeah, for 12 million more, we can have Ryan Tannehill. So it's a rock and a hard place. I think the reality for the Jets for the rest of this season is that the best option that they could potentially have on their roster is going to be like the best of a bad situation. It's not like a very inspiring effort for this Jets team. And I'm not trying to be the wet blanket for Jets fans out there, but I would be very, very surprised if this team could pull off a significant move.
Yeah.
Very surprised.
So I guess what we're hoping for is Tennessee keeps losing. The Jets kind of hang around 500 Correct. And then make a deal for Tannehill.
There was some speculation that Ryan Tannehill, who previously the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, was Todd Downing. He's now on the Jets staff. There's some connections there. Like, that might be the most likely scenario. Mm-hmm. The Titans go 2-6. The Jets are 4-4 after 8 weeks. And you say to yourself, let's make a push. Mm-hmm. But to me, absent something like that, I would be very surprised if it's anything more than just like a little bit of window dressing here or there.
All right. Not feeling good about this. Not looking good for my Garrett Wilson chairs. It looks like we need a lot to go right.
I thought
it was
interesting, too, that Aaron Rodgers was like, there needs to be less finger pointing. If I was still there, this wouldn't be happening. It's like, no crap, this wouldn't be happening if you were still there, Aaron. You'd be running the freaking New York Jets.
Yep.
You wouldn't be in this situation. The team would be excited. Like, that was an interesting spot where it's like, I don't know what the expectation is. So I've got Garrett Wilson, Mike. I have him in a bunch of leagues. Yeah. Right now, I am not interested in just selling him for pennies on a dollar. He's still too good. The skill set, at this point, we talk about, at least on your bench, if you don't want to start him, your bench needs to be full of guys that have upside, guys that are unbelievably talented, guys that could potentially get volume. Garrett Wilson checks all of those boxes. He's going to be better than everyone I'm going to add off of waivers. So I don't know how to move on from Garrett Wilson. He's got to stay on my bench at this point, unless I can get a couple weeks in a row where I can maybe try and trade him to a manager that maybe sees something more in him.
Yeah, it might be rough at times. Remember, last season, he was basically a wide receiver three. He was sixth in targets. The efficiency was atrocious. He was still startable, you know, and again, they played a lot of tough defenses out of the gate. That division does have a brutal schedule this season. We know that, but I think if he keeps seeing, he's seen what, 8-9 targets the last 2 weeks? If he continues that, he's going to be at least startable. And he's super talented too. He's going to make some splash plays. So I'm with you. He's not the wide receiver one we hope for with the elite ceiling, but he's still startable.
You got to keep hanging on.
Yeah. You got to hang on. I mean, but to Daniel's point, like, you could find a room, you could have a roster where he ends up on your bench. I'm not trying to say like I, you know, totally smash
league,
this draft. No, I mean, I'm in a 12-team league where, again, I didn't like smash a 10-team league, excuse me, where I didn't smash this draft, but like
wide receivers
a solid
deep.
Team where I have I went Diggs and Garrett Wilson. I had pick 10-11.
Yep.
But my other wide receivers are obviously Stephon Diggs is starting, Jacoby Myers and George Pickens. And so right now it's Garrett Wilson's the odd man out in that lineup.
He really is.
Kind of feels like it.
Which, you know, it's those situations I think are more plausible than people might realize. It sucks because Garrett Wilson's obviously a very, very talented player. But this is the fantasy trap you find yourself.
Yes, it is. Dynasty League, couple weeks from now, he's still struggling. Awesome guy to target. When Aaron is back next year, this guy has an elite ceiling. So
love that.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna move on. Field, are you ready for this next topic?
I am so ready for everything, Daniel. Okay,
so here we are, Mike Clay. Field and I are here for your intervention.
Yeah, Mike, right. Let's talk.
You've got Justin Fields as
computer's
quarterback
down.
Six.
Let's just
we got to make this serious.
Let's talk.
Wow. You've got Justin Fields as QB 6.
Blindsided by
so
this.
So, Mike, just as a reminder, there's only 5 numbers and 5 quarterbacks that come before 6, right?
Yeah,
so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, that's how that works.
And then
okay.
6. So that means that, like, generally speaking.
Oh, my God. I just saw our rankings.
Quarterback 6 should be, like, you know, like a really, like, excellent lock-it-in type
good.
Player.
Yeah,
like,
understood.
You know, you're absolutely playing this guy. So,
okay.
State your case here for Justin Fields.
I watched the Broncos game last week. They're playing the Broncos.
They are playing the Broncos.
They give up 30 points in that game? That's a lot.
I think that was in, like, the first 7 minutes.
Oh, yeah. So 40, 50? Oh, 70 points. They have 10 touchdowns?
Points. Yeah.
10 touchdowns. I don't think I've ever seen a defensive performance like that in my life.
You quite literally have not.
Have not. So that's it. That's and look, in all seriousness, that defense was terrible. It's one we could pick on, and I think Fields can have a QB1 day. This guy we ranked as a QB1 coming into the season. We now have a sample size of 3 games. He hasn't had a top 15 yet. He's kind of hung around the mid-teens so far this season, but he does have 1 passing touchdown every game. He has 47-plus rushing yards or a touchdown on the ground in all 3 games so far this season. Right. And did I mention they're playing the Broncos this
yes.
week?
Yeah.
So I love it. I'm sticking with okay. you this week. I look, if he busts this week, there's some big problems.
Yeah, there
he's a great matchup
sure.
here
yeah.
Against Denver.
I'm gonna give him another bust again. All right, so let's talk about this though. Can you think of two more stylistically different offenses than the Bears and the Dolphins right now?
Nope.
The Dolphins are like spread you out a mile deep and a mile wide and just let our fast guys be way faster than you, right? Yep. The Bears, I don't know what their offensive style is right now, but obviously it's not very good. You said he's been like hung around like mid-teens value most weeks.
Yeah, like late. Yeah, he hasn't been top 15. He's been hanging around.
Okay, good. So that's a good
that's
way to rank
we
him.
Have
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Quarterback 16.
No, but that was against normal defense. I mean, he's playing the Denver Broncos.
Let me ask you this though. The Broncos performed like a big pile of doo-doo in week three. How bad do you think they really are? Like, do you think they're a bottom five defense in the NFL? Do you
Maybe.
Think they're mid tier?
Maybe. I mean, they have a couple star players. I mean, they have Zach Wilson. That would be bad. You know,
trade Zach Wilson to the
better quarterback.
I was just gonna say
Zach Allen up front.
Yeah,
Justin Simmons was out last week. We'll see if he plays. Patrick Surtain is awesome. So, but otherwise, there are question marks.
Okay,
you know, edge room was one of the worst.
I don't know how they were. I mean, they obviously changed coordinators from last year to this year. Is that the reason why they're so much worse? I mean, I don't know the answer.
I'll say this too. You mentioned the difference between Chicago and Miami, but keep in mind this started the week before. They imploded against Sam Howell,
Commanders,
who had 21 fantasy points in that game. The week before, Jimmy Garoppolo had 15 points. You know, Fields might get 10 points just with his legs. I mean, that's what he's done so far this season, or at least been, you know, in the 5 to 10 range. So I think if he throws one or two touchdowns, runs for 50 yards and a touchdown, he's there. He pays this off.
Here we go. I got an idea. Two things. First of all, we're going to board bet the crap
Absolutely.
Out of this.
Yes, we are.
Second of all, Jackson, if you can, put this on the poll. Go to @FantasyFocus on the X if you want to vote. And I want to know, people that have Justin Fields on their roster right now, are they more likely this week to start him or cut him?
More likely to start or cut?
Yep. Start or cut Justin Fields. This is a week four question.
It's going to be cut.
Yeah.
Well, because
people
Danny
are
going to
vote for
smart.
Cut because they're mad. Yeah.
You know what? It is? Well, this is the fun part about this conversation, and you can get into the board, but this is the fun part about the conversation, Mike, is you are using your analytical computer brain, and you're like, this is what I see. This is what the numbers tell me. And me and Field, we're like, the Bears are on fire. Do not start Justin Fields. Have you seen how bad he looks?
I think when you mean like literally like a house on
like
fire.
A dumpster
not
fire.
Like on fire like playing.
Four and a half out of five dumpster fires.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I am also using my big brain, my computer, my analytical brain. And my analytical brain is like, I don't like to play bad players. And right now, Justin Fields is playing really poorly. And you're right. He does have, what you said, 47 rushing yards or a touchdown in all three games. The game that he had a rushing touchdown, he had 3 rushing yards. So it wasn't like that was a gangbusters rushing performance.
But the point is he has 5 or 6 points just from his legs.
4.5 yards per carry this year, down from 7.1 last year. Those big explosive runs seemingly aren't there. I got to tell you this. I just don't know if I could bring myself to starting Justin Fields this week for fear of what it might look like. So I think we should board bet this sucker.
I think so too. We should. I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
so you have him as quarterback.
Just a funny thing about polls like that, really quick. A funny thing about polls is like it might be 80% cut this week. Next week it might be 90% start if he has a huge game like last year.
Well,
like if
we'll
he runs
do it
for
again next week.
Yeah, I'm just
this
saying
is the like, beauty of a board bet.
Yeah, that's the way this game goes. It's
I have him. I have Justin Fields. He is now my number two behind Kirk Cousins on the only roster that I have. Justin Fields. I'm not cutting him. But I am scared of starting him this week. So along those lines, Mike, you have him as quarterback 16. Dan and I have him as quarterback 6. A rare three-man board bet, right?
Opposite. Mike, you have him as quarterback 6. Field and I have him as quarterback 16.
Mm-hmm. My bad. That would have been really bad.
I already got him to come around.
Okay, so quarterback 11 is the median point.
Got it.
Okay. Daniel, you and I agree on this one, right?
Yes, we do. I'm with you on this board bet.
Daniel, just I'm going to speak for both of us right now.
Yep.
I and Daniel say that Justin Fields will not be a top 11 quarterback in week 4.
I, Michael L. Clay Jr., feel that Justin Fields will be a top 11 scorer in fantasy points in week 4.
Put it on the board.
For those of you that are wondering what the L stands for, and Michael L. Clay is lost. Because he had to lose. Yeah.
I set that up.
That was not good. Hey, if you need one of these coins from our buddies over at Trophy Smack, is a start sit coin in case you do have Justin Fields on your roster, you go check it out over at trophysmack.com. We love those guys. All right, let's move ahead and talk about Trevor Lawrence, another quarterback that has been frustrating for us. Week 1 was not too bad.
Yeah.
And then these last 2 weeks have been awful. Mike Clay. I think a part of this has been because his offense hasn't looked good. There's been a ton of drops in this Jaguars offense. They've looked out of sync. What are you doing with Trevor Lawrence here?
Yeah, we thought the opposite would be the case with Calvin Ridley coming to this offense after what happened last year. Do you remember they're in offensive EPA this season?
I don't.
Like sixth, right?
They are 31st.
Whoa!
Oh, wow.
The Jags? Yeah, 31st in offensive EPA. They are struggling, and it's because the pass game has been so terrible. Three passing touchdowns. Did you say sixth?
I thought this was going to be one of those where it's like they've been moving the ball effectively then crapping down their leg in important moments.
No, they have really been atrocious.
Got it.
It's been bad. They are playing Atlanta, kind of TBD out what kind of matchup this is going to be. I'm obviously low, but Atlanta mid-pack against quarterback so far, but they've allowed five passing touchdowns to Jordan Love, Jared Goff, and Bryce Young. So hasn't been super stiff competition yet, and they're still allowing some passing touchdowns, maybe some hope, but again, Lawrence has three touchdowns in three games so far. This offense is not playing well. I have him ranked pretty low. I'd bench him this week.
Benching him?
Mm-hmm. Benching him, huh?
You would at quarterback 18. Here's the thing. Feel like I'm at quarterback 14.
Yeah.
Well, but in a 10-team league with the way that multiple teams are rostering multiple quarterbacks, I'm still probably starting Trevor Lawrence because I don't have a streamer that I'd rank ahead of. Maybe Brock Purdy this week against Arizona.
Purdy, because a couple of guys on the fence there. Yeah.
Mike has a Justin Fields streaming option if he wants to play instead of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm going Fields over Lawrence. You are not.
No, I'm not. I've got him as quarterback 11. You know what? It's I don't know why I have as much confidence as I do, to be candid with you. He's made me nervous this year. I don't know how much of it is a Trevor problem, though. I don't know. I feel like whenever I watch Trevor, it's like, you know, three or four throws a game that you're just like, you are an alien. How did you do that? Yeah. And then I check the stat line and it's like 192 passing yards, a touchdown, an interception. And you're like, oh, never mind. Mm-hmm. I should never have started you. I have him as quarterback 11. It makes me nervous.
Jags have eight drops this season, tied for most in the NFL. Like, that's certainly not helping Trevor Lawrence there.
I think they were first in that category last year, if I'm not mistaken. I think Lawrence dealt with the most drops. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's just I don't know.
Ridley's been a big part of that. That's the frustrating part for us, right? Is we all thought.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just had the light bulb went on. I remember what I was going to say. They changed play callers this year. That's the difference from this year to last year. I wonder if there's something to that. So keep an eye on that.
Oh. What are you doing with Calvin Ridley? Because Calvin Ridley is a guy that you absolutely
drafted. There is some buzz, by the way, that Doug Peterson has taken the play calling duties back.
He said he did not. He said he did not last week. So we'll see.
We'll see
if they make a change soon.
Because one of those, though, that, like, you know, it was kind of like the way he answered it was sort of like, I'm not going to say the truth either way. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say the thing that I should say that will tamp down the speculation.
Yeah.
Right.
Conversation.
Yeah.
Are you starting Calvin Ridley here? Because even though I've had two bad weeks from him, he's still going to be at least a flex play for me in my lineup because the guy's just still so talented and he's going to keep getting volume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really it.
I'm going to start him. I'm at 26 lowest here, but that's still wide receiver 3 at worst. So I'll stick with him. Target share's going the wrong direction. He's still an every down player. Had a season 9 snap share last week. We know he's talented. Atlanta, they've allowed a couple big games so far. They've been good against receivers overall, but Jaden Reed and Amon-Ra St. Brown both had 19 plus fantasy points. So there's something here. I would stick with him for now. If the offense continues to play like this, maybe not in a couple weeks, but for now, yes.
He's also a couple of plays away from having a much rosier outlook, drop touchdowns here or there. And you're just, and I know the drops are a problem, right? But it's like, he feels like he's so close. We maybe got, I think, did you use the term in over our skis earlier in the podcast?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to use it again. Maybe we got a bit in over our skis on Calvin Ridley after week one. But I still think he'll settle in as like wide receiver 15 to 20 most weeks.
Yeah, I blame you for that one.
What?
I was kind of lower on Ridley throughout the offseason. I kept going up as I read the Players Tribune article and saw him in training camp and saw him in the preseason. Uh-huh. Listen to you hyping him up. And I bought into it. It seemed like he was going to be back and he looked so good. So.
Isn't it absolutely hilarious the stuff that we use to influence our rankings?
Oh, yeah.
Like every year I'm like, dude. I'm telling you, I just watch Hard Knocks. And I know this team is going to actually go 2-15, but they might 10 wins in a playoff. Yeah. 10 wins in a playoff appearance.
I'm guilty of that all the time. I watch Hard Knocks, and I always have to remind myself at the end of the episode, like, this was the Lions last year. Uh-huh. Their teams are always like this. You see them, like, the emotional and, like, we're going to do it this year, guys. Everybody's getting fired up, and everybody looks so good. You're like, that's happening in all 32 locker rooms.
Of course.
All of them. It's the same thing. It's just the cameras happen to be here. So you do have to kind of center yourself sometimes when seeing that sort of content.
Also, a little perspective on the fact that the teams that they pick for Hard Knocks are not the juggernauts in the NFL. So, like, when you're looking at those guys, it's painting a very rosy picture of a team that is likely going to or has struggled.
I think one year we need a team that's just like, man, we're going to suck this year.
That would be fun if we just awesome. Got that.
Dude, I mean, I feel like just miserable.
Are they doing like, in-season hard knocks this year or no?
I don't know.
Not to my knowledge, but they have had a couple of teams that have...
Arizona did it last year.
Not exactly performed capably during the season. Remember the Colts 2 years ago, obviously, had that epic collapse during their in-season hard knocks. All right, let's keep going then.
Yeah, we talked about George Pickens last week. You and I did, Mike, if you remember. And
no, I don't.
You don't remember that. Well, no, Deontay Johnson again this week. I was wondering if we were going to see Allen Robinson or Calvin Austin maybe take some...
Sounds like Allen Robinson is iffy for this game, by the way. He's got an ankle injury. You know, Mike Tomlin's the best, and him and Sean McVay are the goats when it comes to injury updates, being very transparent. It sounds like they'll limit his work early in the week. I don't know if I infer that as Robinson being in real threat of not playing on Sunday, but at least something to monitor. It would only mean more volume, possibly, for George Pickens, Mike.
Yeah, I think he's in a good spot here. I'm at 21. You're actually a little lower than us, but we all have him as a starter. 19% or higher target share in both games, including the huge target share 2 weeks ago when he had that big game. Houston has been decent against receivers so far this season, but they have allowed at least 14 fantasy points to a receiver in all three games. Zay Flowers, Christian Kirk, Michael Pittman, very zone-heavy defense. So Pickens should be able to find some openings and make some plays in this game. So 21 for me. Definitely a lineup lock.
Starting to feel a lot better about George Pickens now, right? I mean, just like the talent, putting it all together here. Even with Kenny Pickett not exactly balling out so far this year, George Pickens has not been that much worse for the wear.
Just got to get these guys the ball, right? Yeah. It's the same thing we complain about with Atlanta. Yeah. Get the ball in the hands of these players. We'll talk about that those Atlanta guys here shortly, I believe. But
all right, let's talk about guys.
Hold on. I want to do a blind trivia before we name the player.
All right, go ahead.
Bijan Robinson leads all running backs this year with 14 catches. There are three players who are tied for second amongst running backs with 12 catches. Can you name any of those three running backs?
I think I know one. Well, I know two of them. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and give me.
I'll give you one. Miles Sanders.
Okay. Daniel.
Kyren Williams.
Mike. And the other is Jahmyr Gibbs.
Negative. But
no.
So, by the way, why the heck would you guess the one player that I didn't want you to guess the first time?
Because I thought that was the point. That was the third one.
No, it's Tony Pollard,
Jalen Warren,
and Miles Sanders.
Okay, so
but
I got
Miles
one.
Sanders is a surprising one because on the one hand,
who's the surprising one?
I think Jalen Warren and Miles Sanders. But remember, you know what?
Go ahead.
During the preseason, we had this conversation, right? Like, hey, the Eagles kept talking. I'm sorry, the Panther staff that was with the Eagles said, like, he's going to catch the ball a lot. We had him in Philadelphia when he caught a ton of passes, right? And, like, so far that's been true. That part's good. It's everything else that hasn't been that great for Miles Sanders, specifically the rushing efficiency. So
here's what happened. Should I explain what just happened there?
Yeah, go ahead.
We were supposed to talk about Jahmyr Gibbs next. That's why I saved him for last. So this is on you. This is on field, okay? Yeah. Like, I'm not getting thrown under the bus here. All right?
Fair enough.
This one is on you.
That's all right. So let's finish the Miles Sanders conversation, though, seeing as how we're already halfway
through. Sorry, I had to interrupt and get that in there.
Yeah,
I
know.
I can't have the national audience thinking I was wrong on something.
I mean,
that's unacceptable.
Happens to me.
100%
right. Welcome to the club. All right. So Miles Sanders to me is an interesting one because when you did your ranking projections or you did your projections each week, those are a starting point. Mm-hmm. And it gives all of us that are also rankers just like a canvas that we then work off of.
Which are like way off and just drag them all the way up.
Well, you drag up or down. Listen, Mike, this is, I mean, I think it's disingenuous to the readers, viewers, listeners, et cetera, to just have like the exact same rankings. Like if I feel differently,
of course,
or if you feel differently, like that's actually, it can be very helpful when you see players comparably because it shows a confidence. Mm-hmm. It also can be helpful if you and I see things differently or you and Daniel see things differently or Daniel and I see things differently and we have two sides of the coin that we are arguing. And if somebody feels like Daniel's argument is more persuasive than mine, follow Daniel's lead. Hopefully that decision pays off. But Miles Sanders coming in at running back 7 to me felt like just too rich for my blood. Now, they play the Vikings this weekend. So it's a terrific matchup. I'm sure you love that part of it.
I do. 27 points allowed to DeAndre Swift. They did hold Rashad White and Josh Kelly under 7 points. So they did better against them. But it really is the volume for me with Miles Sanders. 12th in touches this season, 17th in fantasy points. So he's kind of delivering as an RB2 so far. You mentioned the targets. That is something that I jotted down here. Career high in 9 last year. He actually leads all running backs in targets. So he's tied in catches. He's first with 20 targets this season. Career high target share. The problem here, the concern, and the reason why his production is behind his volume is the efficiency is terrible. He's averaging 3.4 yards per target. That is really bad and aligns with what he's done in Philadelphia, which is why they didn't throw to him. That has carried over. Also, 3.4 yards per carry so far is a career worst. This is a guy that's usually closer to 5 yards per carry. So I'm wondering what which one is going to work out. Generally, I'm going to follow volume. That's right. Why I'm higher on him than you guys. But the efficiency, if it continues to be poor, means we're going to see more Chuba Hubbard or something.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like Miles Sanders is such the guy for that coaching staff. Like, yeah, they're going to continue to lean on it. I can't. Like, Hubbard's not
that
he's not special.
So weird to see Chuba Hubbard over
but,
Miles
but
Sanders.
I mean, he's 12th in touches. I mean, it could be a little bit less.
Okay, a little bit less. But the interesting part is that like I started this conversation almost making like the pro Miles Sanders debate. Mm-hmm. And I'm the lowest by far. I've got him at 18 this week because I don't know. It just had the eyeball test has not been kind to this Carolina Panthers offense. You may know that they're 0-3 if you guys haven't
heard.
It's
not great.
I've heard that.
Not great.
Man, as bad as things are for the Bears right now, and they're bad, that team could be tumbling towards two incredibly valuable picks. Theirs and Carolina next year. Both belong to them in the first round. Mm-hmm. Ooh, baby.
Yeah, so the first round, the top of the first round might be just all Arizona and Chicago.
Yeah, they could. I mean, they got four of the top Arizona seven picks, and Houston too frisky last weekend to worry about the 2024
That's
draft.
Good point.
But man, and those the players that I expect to go in the first five picks next year so align with what the Bears need. Neither here nor there. Let's talk about Jahmyr Gibbs, who does not have at least 12 catches this year, which would be tied for second amongst running backs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was interested by this one. So we are waiting to figure out Thursday night football game.
Okay.
Take on the Green Bay Packers. That's a part of it. We'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow. But if Jahmyr Gibbs and these Detroit Lions see David Montgomery come back and be a part of this backfield, and it sounds like with some of the comments we had from Dan Campbell, like that's going to happen, how is that going to impact, Mike, your ranking of Jahmyr Gibbs, knowing that he has struggled when he has been given the full workload without David Montgomery?
Yeah, so the story here is that I have Gibbs ranked way lower than everyone else because like sometimes like we work through all, you know, we're busy in season. We work all day long. And then you guys just go about your lives. And I just keep working because I'm a grinder. I stay at it. I watch the press conferences. I read the reports. And I caught last night Dan Campbell make a note that, it looks like Monty's in good shape, right? Montgomery's looking good to play. He expects him to play in this game.
Okay.
So I went in, got to work, you know, because that's what I do. I grind. I get back to the computer, adjust the projections, put Montgomery in there, rank him, and lower Jahmyr Gibbs. So that's what happened here. I'm just ahead of you guys. Like you'll catch up at some point. And also, I follow the Lions. Like
that's
I know
you're,
you are
you're
not always
Lions
on top
guy,
of that.
Yeah.
I keep a close eye on the Lions as well. So
interesting.
Had Montgomery not got injured, and Montgomery not like where would we have ranked Gibbs last week? Probably as a flex or a borderline RB2. I mean that's where I am. I expect Montgomery to come back, play, handle the bulk of the carries. Mm-hmm. Gibbs will be involved in the passing game, but. This is where he belongs right now. Montgomery is the better fantasy play.
This is as low as he's been ranked, though, all season long, because coming into the season, we thought he was going to get more usage. We've never ranked him this low up until this point.
I think week three, we would have had Montgomery not got hurt.
Okay, well, but that's not where we were at. So, like, this is one of those things. If you've got Jahmyr Gibbs on your roster right now, he's not a must start for you here in week four?
No, he's not a lineup lock with Montgomery there. I mean, the Lions have played their cards already and through two games. They featured David Montgomery.
Yeah.
He was around 20 carries both games. A non-factor in the passing game, but that's where Jahmyr Gibbs has been busier, but he hasn't been productive in fantasy yet. And with Montgomery back, I just don't see how you can rank him near the top 10 or 15. And I assume you guys agree once you insert Montgomery back.
I've got Gibbs slightly ahead of David Montgomery for a week. I did my, you know, as much as Mike wanted the crap, that's my third time I've said crap today on the show.
A lot of poo-poo talk
here now. But as much as Mike wanted to make me feel bad about the fact that I watched two episodes of Love is Blind last night, mental health is health too, for the record. As much as you wanted to do that, Mike, I have updated my rankings.
You're on
I
it
care
now?
About
you
the
did
product,
it?
Yes.
Okay, you did that. All right,
so I have Jahmyr Gibbs just ahead of David Montgomery, both inside my top 25 for running backs.
Okay, fair. Both just inside the top 20. That's totally fair because Montgomery is, what, one target this season? So I think that's justifiable. Montgomery's scored in both games. He's playing well. Yeah. Playing okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I understand putting them close, but Gibbs should not be ranked eighth like I would have had him before Montgomery.
I'll tell you what, though, and this is just maybe you can tell me this is me as a Lions fan. Jahmyr, and I don't think it is. I want to be very clear, but I don't think this is. Jahmyr Gibbs, if you've watched him play, you're just waiting for him to have that one play where the court comes off. And as soon as he happens, I think it's going to be wide open for him. It's waiting to get that one explosive play he hasn't had yet this year.
Totally fair. And I mean, still ranking him as a RB3 flex option, right? He's totally fine to start. He's just not that lineup lock.
He's not a lineup lock.
Strong, you know, a guy that's going to have 15 carries and maybe five or six targets. that's going to, he's going to be hard pressed to get that on Thursday.
All right. Here's another running back that we want to talk about. Devon Achane, after an unbelievable week last week, everyone went out and added him in waivers. And now it's like, what do I do with this guy that scored 50 points last week? I have to be able to put in my lineup, right?
Yeah. I mean, you think, right? This one feels like, doesn't it feel like the story of the day on Sunday is going to be what happened with Devon Achane? Because no matter what the story is, it's a huge story, right? If no matter what the outcome is, it's a huge story. If Achane repeats Sunday, which I'm here to tell you it's not going to happen, but if it does, it's the story of the freaking century, right? Back-to-back games with 50-plus.
Right,
I know, that's a good point. No, I made it very specific. Just this Sunday.
Okay, okay.
50-plus points in back-to-back games would be absurd. Meanwhile, if he has, like, you know, if he plays 12 snaps and has, you know, 22 rushing yards and one catch for 8 yards, people are like, dude, what the heck, man? Why'd I bother with Devon Achane? So I guess, like, the only way that it works is if he finishes with, like, 9.5 fantasy points, right?
Is that the voice of
the voice of the people in your mentions are my favorite.
I know. Why do I always pick the weirdest, most random voices for people that are in my menchies?
This is tough, though, because this does feel a little bit.
What does the matter with me?
Doesn't this kind of feel a little bit like Jerome Ford last week, where it was like, we grabbed this guy off of waivers that week, and then I was like, but can you play him against what would be a really tough defense? That was the Titans last week.
I don't see it like that, but Mike, you go first.
I'm not saying it's the same outcome, but I feel like the situation is you grabbed a guy off waivers, you had high expectations based on what they can be, and it's, are you going to trust him or not?
Yeah, the one thing I will say here, though, is that Buffalo, look, it's not the Denver defense. Sean McDermott. They're going to be respectable. They're really good defense, but better against the pass. In fact, where do the Bills rank in yards per carry allowed to running backs this season?
I don't know. 31st, like the Jaguars in EPA.
Yeah, they're second highest yards per carry allowed to running backs so far. Yeah, yeah. There you go. You nailed it.
Yes,
you
got it.
Go on the back, baby.
Second highest at 5. I think it's 5.6 per yards per carry so far. Works in the Dolphins' favor here if they want to hand the ball off, if that continues. So I have him 25th. I think he is a guy who can start. He's not a lineup lock. I think Raheem Mostert, the number one scoring fantasy running back. Here's a hot take. He should be started. I think Achane, he's fifth in scoring.
Achane.
Are we 100% sure on that?
According to him, it's Achane.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it's still like...
You think he's trolling
us? Like the clip of Adam Schefter was... He said Achane because that's the pronunciation guy. That was the clip on McAfee, and then Achane corrected, and then... It was like
Achane told Peter King on Sunday night that it's Achane.
Okay.
Now, this is a big step up from when Alvin Kamara was asked about this early in his career. And people were like, is it Alvin Kamara or Alvin Kamara? And he was kind of like, whatever you want. It's like, okay.
That's not an answer. Or how about Najee Harris last year was furious that people call him Najee. He was like, just read it how it's spelled. It's not that hard. He was really mad about it.
I didn't realize that was a thing this year, too, with Bijan. That it's like his mom says Bijan, and he says Bijan. So it's like, which one is the right one? That's kind of like Alvin Kamara.
Dijon mustard. You have Dijon mustard. So, yeah, it's got to be Bijan. Yeah, what were we talking about again?
Devon Achane.
Oh, Devon Achane. Okay. The reason why I see it differently than Jerome Ford, only because like the role for Jerome Ford was so clearly going to be fantasy relevant. I'm not sure if it's going to like, I don't have any idea how much Devon Achane is going to play on Sunday. Again, a reminder. In the first 2 weeks of the season, healthy scratch, and then 6 snaps against the Patriots in week 2. Now, obviously, at this point, you know, the Dolphins recognize just how special of a talent he was, how special of a talent he is. We will see more of him, but is more going to mean 30% of the snaps? Because if it's 30% of the snaps, even with his electric speed in this offense, not a guarantee that he can turn that into more than, you know, 8 or 9 fantasy points. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm with him. Keep in mind, he's what, $188? He's tiny.
That's why he fell in the draft. Yep.
All right. We're going to talk about a bunch of disappointments and what you can do with them in your fantasy roster. And this is going
to
be
like this is therapy. I want people to know this is like we want to welcome you into our living room and just talk it out because we are in this with you.
Yeah, we are there together. But first, Field Yates, let's pay some bills.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Mike would love that.
Of course he would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app available 24-hour roadside assistance and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you or Devon Achane could save, not chain. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agents today.
Smell that? That's the scent of fresh turf and freshly cracked Dr. Pepper, which can only mean one thing. It's college football season. So block off your Saturdays and swipe a sweet Dr. Pepper from the mini fridge because there's a new season of high kicks, long throws, and Fansville commercial breaks. to carry you all the way to the West Coast games. That's right. The fans are back. And this year, things are heating up. We're talking more hot takes, more heartbreak, more layers of face paint. Get ready to drink in all the drama this season with the help of the most delicious college football tradition there is, Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Have you ever dreamed of hitting the road in your very own customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter? Yeah. Following college football all season long, hitting all the biggest games in college football's most celebrated stadiums, at ESPN, we freaking dreamed that dream. And with the help of Mercedes-Benz, we made it happen. This year, our very own Jen Latta has teamed up with Mercedes-Benz designers to create a road-ready, full-functional, state-of-the-art podcast studio on wheels. The ride is pure Mercedes-Benz. With all-wheel drive and the latest driver assistant safety and technology, the podcast studio must also be seen and heard to be believed. A spacious and chill conversation space with mics, cameras, and a mixing board to capture the action. And on board, Jen Latta will be interviewing some of the biggest names in college football. And points to Mercedes-Benz for always bringing some extra. Out back of the Sprinter, they're innovating, pushing the science of the tailgate, complete with grill, cooler, TV monitors, and more. This is hashtag van life meets the fan life. To get an inside look of how this one-of-a-kind, blow-your-mind collaboration came together, visit mbvans.com/Sprinter Labs. The Mercedes-Benz ESPN College Football Podcast Sprinter coming soon to a game near you.
Do you, Field, do you think that voice you were doing before is like the sound, the voice of that Kevin James meme?
It could be.
Is that the voice?
That's a great point. That's a great.
Is that like when he like and that still like when he starts talking? That's the voice.
That's what he does.
It's probably true.
I thought of this
by the way. I just said a minute ago. We are inviting you into our homes. Here's what we're doing. It's supposed to be 78 degrees on Monday here in Connecticut, the Nutmeg State. We're actually inviting you onto pool floaties at Mike's house.
Yes.
So imagine that as we talk about these players that are very disappointing, we're in Mike's pool.
Okay.
I like that.
Done. I need to put the heater on by Monday. So
by Monday.
That's in all seriousness. I have a heater because I'm like a baby. Like I need it to be like 85 to go in there.
That sounds about right.
I'm gonna have to fire it up this weekend and get ready to go for early next. That's it. That might be the last time we hit 80.
Might be the last time
until next. Right. Yeah, who knows? May.
Wow, so. Don't remind me about that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've seen. That's a bad segue. Dang it. Never mind. I'm gonna skip it. I don't think we've seen Derrick Henry hit 80 rushing yards so far this year. And right now, fantasy managers, have we? Has he hit 80 rushing yards in a game so far this season?
Week one, probably. Yeah.
Are we talking about it? Let's talk fantasy disappointments. And this is not, so to me, the point of this segment, at least in my opinion, is like less about like what the outlook is for this week. We'll still give you our rankings, but it's more just like your chance to air it out and let you know that like we're in this battle together. And when I think about disappointments, it's very much tethered to where and how high that player was drafted, right? So let's start with Derrick Henry because Daniel was mentioned. You want to fire it off from there, Daniel?
Derrick Henry has just been awful. Awful. He scored 2 fantasy points last week. This Titans offense looks atrocious. There is nothing that feels exciting about starting Derrick Henry because it feels like if you've watched Titans games, and if you have, I am sorry that you have had to do that. They're just putting 8 and 9 men in the box every single time, as they should, because what else are you going to do to stop the Titans?
Well, here's the problem, though. They've been doing that for years, and it hasn't previously slowed Derrick Henry down. He's 21st right now in running back scoring. 21st in running back fantasy points scoring.
So, top 12s.
This feels different, and Mike has been hammering this, but not only is he not nearly as efficient this year as prior years, but he's hardly playing compared to prior years. Tajay Spears has more snaps than him this season, right?
He sure does. Actually, he's up now, 91-80, but that's mostly because of week two. There was a big gap. Week one and week three, he was out snapped by
Spears. Yeah, so 2 out of 3 games, he has been the second running back on the roster in terms of snaps. So we still have him as a top 10 play this week. They play the Bengals, and you kind of have to do that for a little while longer because Derrick Henry is Derrick bleeping Henry, right? Mm-hmm. And the rush, we still have, we have seen one sort of throwback rushing game so far this season, but super disappointing. 21st in running back fantasy points for Derrick Henry.
Brutal.
Yeah, and I wonder what the ceiling is if this usage doesn't change because he does have a huge edge in carries. He's getting the carries. When they run the ball, he gets them. He's getting out utilized and not performing as well in the passing game. That's where Spears has kind of done his work. And I don't know if that's going to change.
Offensive line, 32 out of 32.
That's right. They have a really, really shaky offensive line. So,
did you get any DMs from the offensive linemen?
I have not yet.
Because if you did preseason, you should go back and respond to those DMs. Get your act together because you guys are playing bad.
It's funny you say that, though, because the Jags had shirts made during the preseason. I don't know if you saw this. It was like 31st ranked O-line. I had them ranked 31st.
Stop it. They really did that?
You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. The line coach is where you missed that?
We need to. We don't have enough time today. We got to talk about this more. Just like my general thought on those things is that, like, you, a professional athlete making millions of dollars a year, should be so unbothered by our analysis.
I agree,
like,
100%.
If you are like, if Mike was like, yeah, you know, like, I think that, you know, that Luke Fortner and Anton Harrison are terrible people, we can have a conversation then, mm-hmm. right? But if you have to rank somebody 31st out of 32 offensive lines, and if they prove you wrong, they will laugh last. You will be mocked on the internet. Like, come on. Come on.
I want the t-shirt, though. That's what I'm getting at. Can I get one of the t-shirts?
Can you just send me one?
I just want one of the t-shirts. Yeah, that's happened a few times. That's one of the interesting things about ranking things. Like, it's fun. I like to rank things. It gives me perspective. That's why I do it. I do it mostly for myself, and then I share it with the public. So you can get some use out of it as well. So yeah, it's never personal, but you're right. If I'm ranking something 1 to 32,
someone
has to be last. Yeah, and sometimes it's running back, for example. Everyone's pretty decent at running back for the most part when everyone's healthy. Somebody has to be at the bottom.
Sure. Najee Harris.
I would argue the biggest disappointment in fantasy right now.
Najee Harris, running back 48. He has scored 17.1 fantasy points through 3 weeks.
Yeah, hasn't gotten to 7 in a game yet.
I am at a point now where I am ranking Jaylen Warren ahead of Najee Harris because of the passing game usage that he's getting. And guess what? I don't want to start either one of them. I want to be clear about that.
You might be, but like, it's not like you feel good about either one of them right now.
If you are super deep, then you can look at some of these guys. But in a 10-team league, in a 12-team league, I am just out on Najee Harris. There's more upside elsewhere.
Yeah, how about this? Remember 2 years ago when he was a rookie and he had 94 targets, which was most among all running backs? He has 6 this season. Mm-hmm. He has 6 targets. He had 94.
Did all those targets go to the undrafted free agent from last year? Is that where
they are?
Going?
They are. They're used. He still has a snap edge. Does Harris? He had 19 carries last week, but the efficiency is poor. He doesn't look very good out there. If there's a saving grace, perhaps it's the matchup this week against Houston. 5th most points to running backs. They've struggled in this area in the past. Check this out: 17 plus fantasy points to Travis Etienne and Zach Moss. And in the other game was Baltimore's trio of running backs. The game Dobbins got hurt, 30 combined fantasy points for those three. So maybe Harris finds the end zone or is a better day this week, but I'm with you. None of these guys are lineup locks. Harris is maybe a flex this week, but I have him 32, maybe. So maybe not.
Dude. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure something out on the fly here right now.
All right.
I think I'm going to be able to figure this out in a moment. This is probably one of the most disconcerting parts about it. Najee Harris already has more 20 plus yard runs this season than he did all of last season.
Oh, that's gross. And he's still this bad.
He's this bad with 2 rushes of at least 20 yards this season.
Wow.
That to me is so alarming. He had 1 all of last year. So at least last year it was like, hey, and he was not great last year, but he was by the end of the season serviceable. It was like all the work is going to him on the ground with a sprinkling of receiving work. And I think truthfully, the Steelers feel as though that they kind of stumbled into something with Jaylen Warren. He went undrafted, right? You don't sign a guy as an undrafted free agent with the expectation he's going to be something, but he has legitimately impacted the way in which Najee Harris is utilized within this offense. And for fantasy purposes, he is no longer a lineup block. He is the biggest disappointment in fantasy right now.
There's a real thing in the NFL, which is essentially a scholarship for a few years. It's a real thing.
100%.
And you see that.
Zach Wilson's on it right now.
Yeah. And
I'm serious.
No, you're exactly right. And I've noticed this too with wide receivers who are drafted on day 3 or undrafted. If you look at the guys like, say, Julian Edelman, who pans out, or Adam Thielen, guys like that, it takes to like year 3 to like really get, they're like, all right, Victor Cruz, like to give these guys, they could be crushing in the preseason, look good, and they know they're good. And they're like, well, this guy was drafted in round 2. He gets a shot first. All those guys like don't break out to like the 3rd year till teams give him an opportunity. And Harris is still on scholarship, but it's winding down. And the Steelers are subscribing to that because he's splitting snaps. Essentially, he's holding like a slight edge of like 5 snaps a game over Warren. That might not last if they lose games.
I'm not dropping Najee. I just want to be clear about that because he's still too talented.
Yeah, 19 carries last week. He's still a fringe flex option. Yeah.
Let's talk about, I'll tell you what, Field, I'm actually going to throw this to you because we're not going to have enough time to get to all of these names. I want you to pick one name and we'll kind of keep going around. We'll each pick a name here that we want to talk about.
I think there's not too far behind from Najee is Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, who right now is 25th amongst running backs. And if I had told you that through 3 games, like which part would be most alarming? That he would have 108 rushing yards total or 0 rushing touchdowns? Like, you can count on yards and touchdowns last season with some passing game utilization for Josh Jacobs, which is the only thing quasi saving him right now is the fact that he has been catching some passes, but I have heard and I acknowledge that the offensive line has not given him a whole lot of room to run with. Did they have a great offensive line last year?
No.
This is pretty much the same group, isn't
probably
it?
Last year. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. It's pretty much the same group as last year without any massive, massive changes, and yet he can't get a dang thing done. By the way, this is not Derrick Henry where teams can just say, we're going to stack the box. They've got one of the, I don't know, five best receivers in the NFL in Devontae Adams. He might be one of the two best receivers in the NFL. And a guy in Jakobi Meyers who's been playing great for them so far this season. So I have no idea what's going on here with Josh Jacobs. 25th amongst running backs, though. Super disappointing.
It's brutal.
Just a reminder that if a guy leads the NFL in touches and has 300-plus carries, red flag. This is history has shown us this. And it
seems
to be...
Is he actually 28 and you just didn't tell us?
No.
He's only his fifth year in the
NFL.
He's
not 28, but I think you... What is he, 25? But maybe you add three years after you had 300 touches. So maybe next year he'll get fresher. This year, maybe next year.
Got it. Okay.
He'll rebound. So,
yep.
Sweet. .96 yards before first contact for Josh Jacobs. Not getting a lot of room to be able to run.
Yeah.
Mike, who do you want to talk about here on this
list?
Yeah,
I think this was kind of a late ad, but I do want to talk about him. Damian Pierce. I think he's really interesting. His first top 40 fantasy week of the season came last week. He scored a touchdown, but he has been under 40 rushing yards in every game. Hasn't had more than three targets in a game. He's playing about half the snaps. Went over 50% actually last week for the first time. And here's the thing. Good matchup this week. Steelers have struggled against running backs so far. 5.5 yards
except for
Josh
Jacobs. Yeah,
second most rushing yards allowed. So it's a decent matchup. But here's the thing. Is Houston's offense just going to keep getting better and better this year? Because CJ Stroud, like I picked him up in a few leagues this week just in case he's the real deal. And like has a Justin Herbert like rookie season. He has, what, 280 plus passing yards in two straight. He's throwing touch. Like if CJ Stroud's a real deal, he's going to get better and better and better as this year goes on. And that could potentially... I mean, more scoring, more points for this offense. Maybe it opens the door for Pierce to get back on track. So that's the reason I feel optimistic. If Stroud was struggling, I might be like, it's over. Like Pierce is not playing enough. There's no, like, he's a good player.
Yeah.
We've seen it last year. There's at least hope, I think, for Damian Pierce.
Okay. So I'm going to refrain from comment because I want Daniel to choose one. And then I think what we should do is pick which of these players that we've discussed we think has the best chance. And Mike kind of tipped his hand there with Damian Pierce to turn things around.
Ooh, that's tough because it's definitely not going to be the player that I'm going to pick. You guys probably don't want to talk about the player I'm going to talk about. No, I think this is really interesting. I want to talk about Dalvin Cook real fast. He was drafted to be a guy that you could use in the first couple weeks of the season. We literally talked about how Dalvin Cook can be a starting running back for you until Breece Hall comes back. We didn't expect Aaron Rodgers to get hurt. And with Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, this Jets offense has just tanked. And because of that, Dalvin Cook, who is still rostered after waivers ran last night in over 81% of leagues. Yeah. I have no idea what his ceiling is here. What is the ceiling for a Dalvin Cook that looks slow and old on a bad offense that can't move the football at this point?
Minimal. The ceiling is...
Yeah, unless Breece Hall gets hurt, I don't see a path to starting him in fantasy. His snap share is dwindling. We expected that to happen, but not this quick. From 49% week one to 35% to 26% last week. And this week they're playing the Chiefs. They haven't allowed a running back over 13 points so far through three games. So,
and it's not going to be Dalvin Cook if it's going to be one of them.
Unless he lucks in the two goal line touchdowns, which is probably a long shot. I don't see Breece Hall had a season high in usage last week, and that's not going anywhere unless he gets sidelined. So,
is that really a season high for Breece Hall in usage?
Yeah, he was over half the snaps last week.
Oh, snaps. I was thinking like total touches.
Yes, it was probably close, right? I think he had like 11 carries and the targets weren't high, but it was probably close to week one.
Other thing that I'll say about Dalvin Cook is this is a team where you could stack the box. And by the way, the Vikings, you know, listen, I'm not trying to sit here and like champion the Vikings offseason. They're 0-3. But of the moves they made this offseason, one of the most logical appears to have been the decision to move on from Dalvin Cook. Whether the right idea to replace him was to invest the contract into Alexander Mattison, I think, is still a question that needs to be answered.
Sure.
But Dalvin Cook does not look great right now.
I think that's where I'm at as a fantasy manager. I don't feel the need to hold him at the end of my bench because there are guys that have more upside, better skill. And all this is a PSA. He is rostered in 80% of leagues. You can move on from Dalvin Cook at this point.
Yep. By the way, I was saying this yesterday. There are a lot of players that are on a bunch more. I was saying yesterday, like there are guys who are on a high percentage
of rosters.
Yeah. Some of it's like more name than game, right? Like I used Juju as an example. He's on like 57% of rosters, which no need to be right now. Dalvin being on 80% of rosters, not totally surprising, but that number could shrink and I'd be okay with it.
Very okay with that. All right.
Let's decide. We have a couple minutes left here. Which of these players do you think has the best chance to turn things around?
Do we just want to pick from them? Should we throw a couple more?
Scale.
Should we throw two more running backs in the conversation?
Sure, go for it.
Because I think we're crossing off Cook, right? He's off the list.
He's off the list.
We have Javonte Williams on here.
Yep.
You know, and another one was Alex Mattison.
Yep.
So that's a bunch of, so we have what? We have Harris.
Yep.
Javonte, Henry, Jacobs, Pierce, and Madison.
So let's talk about this. The two guys that stick out like a sore thumb to me. I mean, the number one answer for me is Josh Jacobs. Just because the snap share is so significant, right? I mean, he's a very talented player. He's played over 80% of the snaps. Like, that alone gives me some confidence. Even if he may not be a top five running back this season, but he could easily settle back in as like a top 12 to 15. And then I think Alexander Mattison might be the other pick here. 76% of the snaps.
Yeah, I agree, but I think we're going to see some Cam Akers touches this week. And if he rips off a couple of runs, that could be a problem. I'm not, like, I think the team is pretty dedicated to Mattison based on what they did in the offseason, to your point.
Yep.
Sign him to a deal. He's going to get a long run here, but Akers at least being there gives him some pressure. Yeah, I think Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry. He's a chance to bounce back for sure. I'm with you on Jacobs. I mentioned Pierce. I already talked about some optimism there. But I'm going to stick with Javonte Williams. I know it's been a slow start. I know that Samaje Perine has played a lot. I think as he gets healthier as the year goes on, there's reason for optimism here. Also, good matchup against Chicago. They've allowed the second most fantasy points and 7 touchdowns already to running backs this season. So maybe perhaps this could be a week where Javonte makes a leap. He's certainly playing enough to at least have a fantasy startable, we'll say, week.
I'll tell you how I feel, Field. Derrick Henry is splitting time with a guy in the backfield that I don't love, in Tajay Spears. Najee Harris splitting time with a guy
named Najee Harris. Don't forget.
Najee
Harris. He's going to come at you.
Splitting time with Jalen Warren. When you look at this, Javonte Williams still has Samaje Perine that's there. Yeah. When you talk about it, it feels like Josh Jacobs is the one that doesn't have anyone else that's trying to take volume away from him. And right now, with how bad these guys are, that's what I want, is the V volume.
Yeah. I wonder if Jimmy G will play this week, by the way.
Yeah, big question.
I hope so.
For Devontae's purposes.
Great matchup, Devontae. And I love the Garoppolo Adams stack and cash in DFS. And I want to use it this week. That's what I'm leaning toward.
Always thinking about yourself, huh?
Well,
if it's not him, though, I really want for it to be Aiden O'Connell.
Me too. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I think he was their third quarterback this past week.
Yeah, Hoyer's the two.
So maybe they flip that if they have a full week to prepare for it. All right, let's finish things up with a look at the poll. We asked earlier, are you more likely to start or cut Justin Fields this week if he's on your fantasy roster?
I'll say 81%. Oh my God!
Wow! 54. That is amazing.
I thought we would have way more. 50.4%. We have a smart audience. I thought people would overreact and be angry and just say cut him. Because people are naturally pessimistic. But good job. Our listeners are smart.
49.6% for audio listeners say that's start him. 50.4% say cut him.
Especially if you're talking about, like, some people are in 10-team leagues, smaller leagues, more, you know, cut him.
The craziest part is we put that poll up, like, literally half an hour ago, and we got 9.56 million votes.
That's incredible.
Did the bots hit us, or do we have that loyal of an audience?
Do you think it might be
the
Mike?
Audience.
It might be Mike.
No, it's all the Swifties.
That's why the vote's close.
It's the new Swifties that we have.
The Swifties are trying to learn more about football, so they're engaging in the game. And they watched the game last weekend, of course. They watched Justin Fields.
It was actually me just the whole time.
Woodpecker.
The egg skit. I was just sitting there the whole time like this.
Oh, the egg skit is so fun.
That's my favorite skit, for sure.
Oh, that's fun.
Maybe someday I'll feel to watch that show.
Someday.
Big party for season 4. We're doing it.
Okay, awesome. Where do I have to show up?
At the pool.
Mike's pool.
Awesome.
Can we watch it from the pool? All right.
Absolutely.
Do you have a projector?
Yeah.
We're going to get
one.
Of
the house.
You're so rich. I want to be you.
That is not true.
Oh, wow. That was good. Our producer just said he is the projector. Doesn't have a projector. He is the projector.
That was good, Brian. That was good.
That was good.
Fist bump myself. Or Dave, right. Whoever that was.
Shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. For Field Jates and Mike Clay, my name is Daniel Dopp. We will
enjoy the rest
tomorrow.
Of your Thursday.
That's your Wednesday. Football tomorrow. Field Now will be back talking a bunch of football. We love you guys. Don't forget to be kind to each other. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. We'll see you tomorrow on Thursday.
Wait, how great would it be if there was Friday Night Lights football tomorrow night?
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
Right. The NFL can't do that though, right?
I don't think so.
I think it's some sort of legal thing.
Hey, right? Can the NFL do some flex scheduling with some of these primetime Jets games that we have coming
up
this year?
No comment. Starting next week, they can flex games.
All right, that's what I need
certain
to hear.
Certain games, at least.
All right.
Tannehill to the Jets. Let's go.
The show's still going.
Tannehill to the Jets.
I think so. I'm not sure why Brian hasn't faded it out yet, but I love it.
There's a local DJ whose nickname is Darth Vader here. It's awesome.
Darth Vader?
Darth Fader.
Fader. Oh,
how
I get
great
it.
Is that?
I get
as
it. That's
DJ?
Actually pretty good. Yeah.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride.
candidly, he hates Mike Clay. And you know that it's a fact, every Yater's gonna Yate. Cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's Fieldy.